Commands of Jesus: repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. Matt 4:17. Think differently. Change your mind, regretting your sins and changing your conduct. I tell you no, but unless you repent, you too will all perish. Luke 13:3. I tell you no, but unless you repent, all of you will also perish. Luke 13:5. Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Matt 6:25-34. Notice. To pursue the righteousness of God and his kingdom is supposed to be the highest priority of your life, more than your efforts to provide food and clothing. Seek first the kingdom, which is peace, righteousness, and joy in the Spirit. Rom 14:17. To do so, in many scriptures, he told us, come to me. Come not to sect services that claim he is in their building, not to prayer meetings, not to altar calls, not to read the Bible. Jesus even said that studying the scriptures is not coming to him. John 5:39-40. We must go directly to him. He told us how to seek him, the one thing that is needed, to sit at his feet and listen to his words that he speaks to us, Luke 10:39-42. We sit by waiting in humble silence, listening and watching while thinking of the name of Jesus. When we hear him speak to us and then obey, we are following Jesus. What righteousness are you commanded to seek? His righteousness. Today's so-called Christians think they are righteous because they believe in Jesus or have been water baptized. In so doing, Christianity has made a mockery of the Lord's highest priority command in the New Testament. Jesus only spoke, judged, and did as he was prompted and ordered by God. To practice righteousness, we also must be able to only speak what we hear him order us to say, and only do what we are ordered to do by God. This ability only comes after we have crucified our selfish spirit, and all sin in us has been destroyed by the Spirit through bearing the inward cross of self-denial. Then we are walking the same way he walked, and in the world as he was, with perfection, purity, and holiness. Then we are practicing righteousness as he practiced righteousness. Jesus said, blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Matt 5:6. How could anyone hunger and thirst for righteousness if they are instantly righteous by simply believing in Jesus? You are slaves of whom you obey, whether of sin that leads to death, or of obedience that leads to righteousness. Rom 6:16-19. Obedience to what? To the commands and teachings we hear from the Lord as we wait on him. Do not labor for food that perishes, but instead labor for the food that endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give to you, for God the Father has authorized and certified him with his seal. John 6:27. To labor is to work hard. What is the hard work you must do that endure to everlasting life? To daily, persistently and patiently expose yourself to hearing Christ speak his commands and teachings to you, by sitting, waiting on God, listening, watching, hearing, believing, and obeying. That is the one thing needed and the only works which survive the fire that everyone must pass through. This is part of the cross that you must daily bear, denying your own will and obeying the will of God instead. Then said they to him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? John 6:28. To work the works of God is to listen to God and obey what he commands, just as Jesus only judged as he was told to judge, spoke only the words he was told to speak, and did only what the Father showed him to do. Everything Jesus did was exactly according to the will of God, doing his will on earth as it is done in heaven by the angels. And that is what we must do to work the works of God, which is working righteousness like Jesus worked righteousness. And Jesus answered and said to them, this is the work of God, that you believe on, depend on, trust, and obey him whom he has sent. John 6:29. The blind guides of Christianity point to these verses and say, see, no work for salvation is necessary. All you have to do is believe. However, just to believe Jesus is the Son of God is not work or even slight effort. Jesus warned us that we must strive, which is to work hard, strive to enter by the narrow gate, for many, I say to you, will seek to enter and not be able to. Luke 13:24. Jesus wanted them and wants us to believe and act in obedience to what he said. Repent or perish, Luke 13, 3-5. Sin no more, John 8, 11-5-14. If any man desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me, Matt 16:24. For whoever will save his life shall lose it, and whoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it, Matt 16:25. So likewise, whoever does not forsake all that he has cannot be my disciple, Luke 14:33. Therefore be merciful, as your Father also is merciful, Luke 6:36. Therefore be perfect, even as your Father who is in heaven is perfect, Matt 5:48. From the word of the Lord within, Jesus did not die so you can continue to sin. It is not enough to believe in Jesus, we must believe what he says and then act on it. Do you agree with any who in their arrogance have stated that God excuses evil in believers? It's not fair, but they don't care. God is just beyond measure. If all anyone has to do to have eternal life and salvation is believe that Jesus is the Son of God, then his disciples would have left him and gone home long before the 3 years that they spent with him night and day, sleeping on the ground. They knew he was the Son of God, but Peter said that eternal life came by listening to his words. You have words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God, John 6:68. It is devoid of common sense to think all you have to do is believe that Jesus is the Son of God. That is ignoring that every man must daily deny himself and take up his cross to follow, obey Jesus. That is ignoring you must lose your life to save your life. That is ignoring all the scriptures that specifically state the exclusions, requirements, and qualifying conditions of salvation. That is ignoring that every man will be judged on his works and words. Even the demons believe that Jesus is the Son of the Most High God, and they tremble in fear of their ultimate fate. Therefore be merciful, as your Father also is merciful. Luke 6:36. The only way you can be as merciful as the Father is to have crucified your sinful nature, so that you hear God direct all your words just before speaking and to do only what you are ordered by God. That is the only way Jesus judged, spoke, and acted, always and only as he was commanded by God. We must be righteous as he is righteous, 1 John 3:7. We must be perfect as our Heavenly Father is perfect, Matt 5:48. We must be merciful as he is merciful, Luke 6:36. We must become pure as he is pure, 1 John 3:2-3. But as he who has called you is holy, so you be holy in all manner of conduct, 1 Pet 1:15. So that we walk as he walked, 1 John 2:6, and as he is, so are we in this present world, 1 John 4:17. There is no flexibility and no equivocation in any of these stated requirements. Believe in the light, that you may be the children of the light. John 12:36. The word, who is Jesus, is the life of God and the light of men. Christ is the light of men, the true light that enlightens every man who comes into the world, given to them so that they might believe. John 1:7-9. So are you supposed to believe that there is a light? No. You are to believe the light's anonymous pleadings, which every man hears at some point in his life, to turn from your evil behavior, so you then might turn away from that behavior because you love the truth that the light shows you. The light is another manifestation of the word, Christ, the Spirit. The light or Spirit reasons with a man to reject his evil ways. If a man believes what the light shows or tells him to be true, then he believes in the light, which is why God gave every man the light, so that all men might believe in it. To believe in the light is to believe what it shows you by revelation as true and then to keep and obey its teachings. This is to believe in Jesus because Jesus is that light. If you do not keep or obey the words you hear Christ speak to you, those words will be your judge when you die. John 12:47-48. Do not resist an evil person. If someone strikes you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if someone wants to sue you and take your tunic, let him have your cloak as well. If someone forces you to go 1 mile, go with him 2 miles. Give to the one who asks you, and do not turn away from the one who wants to borrow from you. Love your enemies, pray for those who persecute you, be perfect therefore, as your Heavenly Father is perfect. Matt 5:43-48. Notice, Jesus has left no wiggle room for the definition of be perfect, which he has commanded us to become. Not be kind of perfect. Not perfect as you can. Not as perfect as humanly possible while trying. Perfect, as your Heavenly Father is perfect, a definitive qualification of perfect, an unarguable perfection. Perfect that is impossible without divine grace, to change us, to purify us, to make us like him, perfect. Now, Jesus doesn't lie, Jesus doesn't exaggerate. So if he told us to be perfect, even as your Father who is in heaven is perfect, then it must be possible, and it is possible. So kill, deaden, deprive of power the evil desire lurking in your members. Sexual vice, impurity, sensual appetites, unholy desires, and all greed and covetousness, for that is idolatry. Call 3:5. For by mercy and love, truth and fidelity, iniquity is purged out of the heart, Pro 16:6, with obedience leading to righteousness. Rom 6:16. The only way you are ever going to be perfect is to abide in Jesus. Whoever continues to feed on me shall live through and because of me. John 6:57. Let his word and light search your heart and show its defects to you. You repent, and he changes you by grace, one defect at a time. There are many scripture references to the requirement of perfection in the New Testament. Click to see, and in the Old Testament too. Click to see, only the power of God can change a man to be perfect, and the completion of his perfection process of you is when Jesus appears to crush the head of the Satan under your feet. Rom 16:20. We must be righteous as he is righteous, 1 John 3:7-10. We must be merciful as he is merciful, Luke 6:36. We must become pure as he is pure, 1 John 3:3. But as he who has called you is holy, so you be holy in all manner of conduct, 1 Pet 1:15. So that we walk as he walked, 1 John 2:6, and as he is, so are we in this present world, 1 John 4:17. There is no flexibility and no equivocation in any of these stated requirements. Sin no more. John 8:11-5-14, Luke 13:3-5. But I say to you that whoever is angry with his brother will be in danger of the judgment, and whoever says to his brother, Raca, in contempt, shall be in danger of the council. But he who says, you fool, shall be in danger of hell fire. Therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar, and remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go your way, and first be reconciled to your brother, then come and offer your gift. Agree with your adversary quickly, while you are on the way with him, lest at any time the adversary delivers you to the judge, and the judge delivers you to the officer, and you are cast into prison. Truly I say that you shall by no means come out of hell until you have paid the last penny. Matt 5:21-25. Notice that the Lord has just likened anger to murder, and in fact when you are angry with someone, in your heart you have murdered them. Just like later in that chapter's verses, he explains that looking at a woman with lust is committing adultery in your heart. John gives us further evidence that anger is murder in your heart. Whoever hates his brother has committed murder in his heart, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. 1 John 3:15. From the word of the Lord within, do not be misled. Anger must be eliminated to enter the kingdom. Only God can remove hate, anger, and resentment from your heart to be replaced by love. Anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart. Matt 5:28, and in the very next verse Jesus tells us how consequential such lustful looks are. If your right eye offends you, pluck it out and cast it from you, for it is more profitable for you that one of your body parts should perish, rather than your whole body should be cast into hell. Matt 5:29, this is how serious sexual lust is. For this you know, that no sexually immoral, impure person or covetous man who is an idolater has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words. For because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the children of disobedience. F5:5-6. But he doesn't want us to maim ourselves. He is only illustrating how serious continuing to sin is. See also Matt 18:8-9, Mark 7:21-23. Jesus is desperately trying to tell us that to enter the kingdom and escape hell, sin has to go. He knew false ministers with false gospels promising freedom to continue to sin would arise after he left. Changes in our heart through the missing cross to purity can take away the desire of the hand, foot, and eye to cause us to sin. Only God can remove the lust from your heart to be replaced by love. Then he spoke a parable to them. Can the blind lead the blind? Shall they not both fall into a ditch? Luke 6:39, the disciple is not above his master, but everyone who is perfect will be like his master. Luke 6:40, why do you look at the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not perceive the log that is in your own eye? Luke 6:41, or how can you say to your brother, Brother, let me take out the speck that is in your eye, when you yourself do not see the log that is in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck that is in your brother's eye. Luke 6:42. Notice, blind leaders cannot lead. A blind leader is anyone who has not been perfected, but everyone who is perfected will be like his master, Jesus. Perfection takes the log out of your own eye. So he wants us freed from sin and purified so we can help our brothers, but until then, we can't even see how to help. And if we think we can, we are more blind than those we are trying to help. We have a beam in our eye, and he only has a speck. Who is more blind? Only when Christ has perfected us, has removed that speck. Only then can we preach or teach, after we are readjusted, restored, perfected, and set to rights, and authorized. Then we can help. Until then, we just harm those we try to correct. To be restored is to be renewed into the image of God, as was man before the fall in the garden, which is Christ's job with all of us. To reconcile the whole creation back to God, as it was, even better, than before it fell due to the disobedience of Adam, for we cannot be reconciled back to God in our fallen state. We must be purified, restored, perfected before union can take place, union that is only possible between two like beings. Only then can we teach or preach or witness or reprove our brothers. In the next three verse, Jesus emphasizes the necessity of perfection before reproving others or speaking about God. For a good tree does not bring forth corrupt fruit, neither does a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. For every tree is known by his own fruit. For men do not gather figs from thorn bushes, nor do men gather grapes from a bramble bush. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth that which is good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth that which is evil. For out of the overflow of the heart his mouth speaks. Luke 6:43-46. And in Matthew, Jesus tells us that those with corrupt fruit, those unperfected disciples, are false prophets that call him Lord but still sin, Matt 7:15-23. James echoes the same message. My brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment. For we all err in many things, and if any man does not err in his words, he is a perfect man. James 3:1-2. James is saying, until you are perfected, what you teach will have errors, and errors will be strictly judged. It is the Lord who is supposed to appoint by gift his preachers, teachers, and evangelists, whose sole purpose is the perfection of the saints. F4:11. No unperfected person can fulfill the ministry's function, which is the perfection of the saints. Any unperfected teacher-preacher has not been appointed or gifted by God. So in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you, for this sums up the law and the prophets. Matt 7:12, Rom 13:8-10, Gal 5:14, Lev 19:18, strive to always obey this. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. Love your neighbor as yourself. Matt 22:36-40, if your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life maimed than with two hands to go into hell, where the fire never goes out. And if your foot causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life crippled than to have 2 feet and be thrown into hell. And if your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. It is better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye than to have 2 eyes and be thrown into hell. Mark 9:43-45, 47-48, he doesn't want us to maim ourselves. He is only illustrating how serious sin is. Jesus is desperately trying to tell us that to enter the kingdom and escape hell, sin is not allowed, period. He knew false prophets with false gospels promising freedom to continue to sin would arise after he left. Changes in our heart through the missing cross to purity can take away the desire of the hand, foot, and eye to cause us to sin. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you clean the outside of the cup and the platter, but within they are full of extortion and excess. They dress in fine garments, and they pretend to be very holy. But unless changed by the power of God, like all men, their hearts are full of evil, being uncleansed and unpurified. Being covetous, they draw a salary from your contributions, and from their position they lord it over you. You are blind, first cleanse what is within the cup and platter, so that the outside of them may be clean also. Your heart must be purified and cleansed, even perfected. Then you are like Jesus, able to witness, teach, or preach. Otherwise, you are a blind guide leading your followers into the ditch and captivity. To not be banned from heaven, everyone must become pure and holy before they die. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! for you are like whitewashed tombs, which indeed appear beautiful on the outside, but within are full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness. Every man's heart is full of uncleanliness, which defile us, as Jesus told us. Click to see. A defiled man is banned from heaven, whatever his lips may say. Jesus came to save us from the evil in ourselves, but we must go to him, expose ourselves to his instructions, and then faithfully obey what he tells us to do. This is the way of the cross, and there is no other way to avoid being banned from heaven. Even so, you also outwardly appear righteous to men, but within you are full of hypocrisy and iniquity sin. Matt 23:25-28, dressing up in your Sunday best makes a fine show of outward appearance, but that does not cleanse your heart that is full of sin. Lust, sexual immorality, covetousness, anger, greed, pride, envy, etc. ministers with their robes, stages, pulpits, choirs, and accompanying music, make fine staged entertainment. But in their ministerial performances, the ministers of Christendom teach that sin is excused because they themselves are full of covetousness, sexual immorality, anger and pride, hypocrisy and iniquity. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten, be zealous therefore and repent. Rev 3:19. Beware ye of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. For there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, neither hid that shall not be known. Luke 12:1-2. Hypocrisy is talking about God, without your conduct and conversation being of a godly manner, pretending to be a godly person while practicing greed, lying, pornography, drunkenness, slander, rage, lusts, etc. He tells us any hypocrisy will eventually be exposed and shamed. Hypocrisy is talking about religion while living in sin. And he answered and said to them, well has Isaiah prophesied of you hypocrites, as it is written, this people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Mark 7:6, you have forsaken your first love. Remember the height from which you have fallen, repent and do the things you did at first. If you do not repent, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place. Rev 2:4-5, do not be afraid of what you are about to suffer. I tell you, the devil will put some of you in prison to test you, and you will suffer persecution for 10 days. Be faithful, even to the point of death, and I will give you the crown of life. Rev 2:10, you have people there who hold to the teaching of Balaam, who taught Balak to entice the Israelites to sin by eating food sacrificed to idols and committing sexual immorality. So you also have those who hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which thing I hate. According to early Quaker Stephen Crisp, who dwelled in the kingdom, the doctrine of the Nicolaitans was, since the law is dead, as long as you have faith, there is no sin to be counted against you, which is exactly the pervasive doctrine today in Christianity, that grace excuses their past, present, and future sins, thereby transferring the meaning of grace to become a license for immorality. From the word of the Lord within, they have taken the Bible and made it an unholy thing used to justify their immersion in sin. Margaret Fox replied strongly to the ministers and teachers of corruption in her time, who taught that the entire law of God was canceled and replaced by just believing in Jesus. This letter is also on the Until Your Words and Deeds Are Prompted by God, You Must Obey the Inner Law on the Heart of Every Man webpage, and perfectly applies to Christianity's false doctrines today. Repent therefore, otherwise, I will soon come to you and will fight against them with the sword of my mouth. Rev 2:14-16, only hold on to what you have until I come. To him who overcomes and does my will to the end, I will give authority over the nations. Rev 2:25-6, rouse yourselves and keep awake, and strengthen and invigorate what remains and is on the point of dying, for I have not found a thing that you have done meeting the requirements of my God or perfect. Jesus not only wants works, he wants perfect works. In his messages to the seven churches in Revelation, Jesus mentions to every church how their works are key. These are not works of the law. These are works you hear God command you to do. And the first works you will be commanded to do are works of repentance. When you have been purified by obedience to the commands of God, you will then be directed to works of obedience that show the love and power of God to the world, bringing honor and glory to God and to your joy. Remember therefore what you have received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If you do not wake up and watch, I will come upon you like a thief, and you will not know what hour I will come upon you. Rev 3:2-3, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do practice, obey what I tell you? For Jesus to be your Lord, you have to obey him. A Lord or Master tells his servant what to do. A servant listens to his Lord and Master and then obeys him. From the word of the Lord within, remember, every person who sins denies him as Lord and Master. The King is where he is King. We call him Lord while failing to even seek to hear his words to direct us. Instead, we tell him everything we want him to do, we talk about him, sing about him, and read about him in a book, thinking that is how to please him. As Jesus said, you search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are those that testify of me. But you will not come to me so that you might have life. John 5:37-40. To come to him is to think on his name as you patiently and persistently sit in humble silence, waiting on him as you listen, watch, hear, and obey. The words you hear him speak to you are spirit and impart the life of God to you as they are engrafted into your heart. John 6:63, James 1:21. When we wait on him to hear him and obey him, we show our love for him. Whoever comes to me and listens to my spoken words and does practices obeys them, I will show you whom he is like. The words that I speak to you are spirit, and they are life-giving, John 6, 63, note, not words read from a book, but words spoken to you from Christ, the word of God in your heart, to be heard and obeyed. Jesus said that studying the scriptures is not coming to him. John 5:39-40. To come to him is to sit in humble silence and wait on him as you listen and watch. When you hear him speak, if you obey him, you are following Jesus. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Matt 11:29. This is the good part, the one thing that is needed, to sit at his feet and listen to his words that he speaks to us. Luke 10:39-42. All your holy ones are in your power, and they sit at your feet, each receiving your words. Deuteronomy 33:3. He is like a man who built a house and dug deep and laid the foundation securely built on a rock. And when the flood arose, the torrent beat violently upon that house, but could not shake it because it was founded upon a rock. The man who comes to him, listens to his spoken words, and then obeys what he hears, builds the temple of God, Christ, in his heart. And when Christ is fully formed through persistence to the end, the day of the Lord comes while he is still alive on the earth, which is a joyous occasion for the obedient, and his works of obedience survive the fire that all men must go through, which works are then forever to his credit, reputation, and reward. But he who hears and does not put my words into practice is like a man who built a house upon the earth without a foundation, against which the torrent struck violently, and immediately it collapsed, and the ruin of that house was great. Luke 6:46-49, those who hear his anonymous words and fail to obey, for them the day of the Lord at their death, which comes on all men, is a horrible, frightening experience. All their life's works are burnt up in the fire that all men must go through. The anonymous words of truth they heard, pleading to depart from evil, but which they failed to obey, will judge them in the last day, John 12:48. Because of their disobedience, their earthly life was spent in no benefit to them, and their many shameful acts are their eternal regret. From the word of the Lord within, I am the terror to most people. Everyone will be known by what they have done and said. So, you must go to him. You must wait on him, listen in humble silence, with the humility of a sinner in need of his changing power, grace. You must listen, hear, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. James 1:21. So wait, watch, listen, hear, obey. Wait, watch, listen, hear, obey, seek, listen, obey. He replied, my mother and brothers are those who hear God's word and obey. Luke 8:21. This is one of the critical verses to be understood. The Greek for word in this verse is logon 3056, which in English means one of speech. 1a, a word uttered by a living voice, embodies a conception or idea. 1b, what someone has said. Hearing someone read words from the Bible does not make you a brother or relative of Jesus, but if you persistently and patiently go to him, by sitting and waiting for him in humble silence, listening for his words, and watching for his revelations, you will eventually become pure and be made a son of God, a brother too, and co-heir with Jesus, to be led and guided by him in all your thoughts, words, and deeds. One hears Jesus, the word of God, speak to them from within their hearts. They believe in what they hear him speak to them to be true, thus to believe in Jesus, and so they obey him. From the word of the Lord within, faith is to hear the word of God and obey. Hear and live, the Spirit gives life with every word heard. There is only one thing needed, Mary has chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her, to sit at the feet of Jesus and hear his word. Luke 10:39-42, the words that I speak to you are spirit, and they are life-giving. John 6:63. Jesus said to seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness as our life's highest priority, Matt 6:33, and here Jesus tells us how, the one thing we need to do, to sit at his feet and listen to his words which he speaks to us from within our hearts. To hear him speak to us, we must sit in humble silence and wait as we listen to hear and then obey. When we obey him, we are following Jesus. From the word of the Lord within, in humble silence we sit and wait. Think on his name. Sit with me and I will make you clean. Sit with me and I will reveal all. Follow me as fast as you can. You start by sitting. If those who hear will obey, their progress will be swift. God is not found going to services or reading about him. There is only one thing needful. Hear me, my children. Come to me and I will speak to your souls. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and then you will find rest for your souls. Matt 11:29. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy burdened, and I will give you rest. Come not to sect services that claim he is in their building, not to prayer meetings, not to altar calls, not to read the Bible. Jesus even said that studying the scriptures is not coming to him. John 5:39-40. We must go directly to him, by sitting in humble silence as we wait on him, listening for his voiced commands and teachings. Come all of you who labor against sin, all who are heavy burdened with your sins, and he will destroy the sins in your heart, and then you will be at rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Matt 11:29. What yoke? The yoke of obedience and the humility of learning, which requires waiting, silently, listening for his voice, which your brain does not want to do and will tell you you are wasting your time. But do not be discouraged if you don't hear for some time. Even your waiting is to your credit. Let your mercy, O Lord, be upon us, in proportion to our waiting and hoping on you. Psalms 33:22. For since the beginning of the world men have not heard, nor perceived by ear, nor has the eye seen a God beside you, who acts for the one who waits for him. Isaiah 64:4, you will eventually hear. Blessed is the man who hears me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors. Proverbs 8:34, Luke 11:28. The rest is where you cease from your own dead works to labor under God's direction, following the promptings of God, energized by God. Thus your then true Lord and Master controls and energizes you by his power, and your words and deeds are performed according to his will and to his pleasure. This is thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Doing the will of God as you have ceased your own dead works done by your own will, ceased your own plans, ceased your own decisions, at rest in Christ, with God's will and power in control, with the mind of Christ. In the rest you are serving the living God. Therefore consider carefully how you listen. Whoever has will be given more, whoever does not have, even what he thinks he has will be taken from him. Luke 8:18. Take heed what you hear, with what measure you use, it will be measured to you, and to you who hear, more will be given. For he who has, to him more will be given, and he who does not have, from him will be taken even that which he has. Mark 4:24-25. Blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and obey it. Luke 11:28. This is one of the critical verses to be understood. The Greek for word in this verse is logon 3056, which in English means 1 of speech, 1a a word uttered by a living voice, embodies a conception or idea, 1b what someone has said. Hearing someone read words from the Bible is not blessed. But when you hear the word of God within your heart speak to you, you are blessed with receiving a small measure of the life of God. Jesus is the life. For the words Jesus speaks to you impart the life of God to you. John 6:63, from the word of the Lord within, faith is to hear the word of God and obey. Hear and live, the Spirit gives life with every word heard. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. The door is every man's heart. The knock is his gentle, anonymous voice pleading with you to depart from evil. To open the door is to believe his pleading to be true, and to repent from the evil that he exposes. Kingdom-dwelling, early Quaker Stephen Crisp spoke of the supper that the Lord promised. If a man opens his heart and receives Christ when he comes, then you shall find such an alteration in that man that go and try him with the same temptation which prevailed over him in the last week, it will not do so now. Though he is as weak as water, and as prone to corruption and iniquity as before, yet now having a faith begotten in him, that the grace of God will defend him, he keeps out of the devil's snares. Now this man trusting in this grace until his sin and iniquity is purged out, now is the time to spread the table. There is a clean heart, and the heavenly guest has now come, and the dainties of the kingdom are brought to him for his nourishment. Now, says Christ, I will come in and sup with him, and my Father will also come, and we will sup with him and he with us. This never happens to anybody so long as the table and heart is foul, for the table must be clean, and the devil and sin thrown out, and then will the Lord confirm and ratify and seal the covenant. So that here is a seal with a witness. When a man has this testimony of the love of God, that God is reconciled to him in Christ, then Christ will come in, and he will bring his Father, and they will sup with him, and this is what will give complete satisfaction to such a soul. To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame, and have sat with my Father in his throne. Rev 3:20. To overcome the world is to be crucified from the lusts of the world, to have mortified the lusts and desires for things, wealth, bodies, sex, that is the victory that overcomes. But the only victory the believers of Christendom have experienced is victory over their conscience and guilt for committing sin. See that you do not refuse him who speaks, for if they did not escape, who refused him who spoke on the earth, how much more will we be liable if we turn away from him who speaks from heaven? Heb 12:25. Then shall the righteous shine forth like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Let him who has ears to hear be listening, and let him contemplate, discern, and understand by hearing. Matt 13:43. Listen to Jesus, the word within your heart, discern and understand. Many shall be purified and made white and tried, but the wicked shall do wickedly. And none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. Dan 12:10. All men will hate you because of me, but he who stands firm to the end will be saved. Mark 13:13. What end? The end of your journey to salvation. Faith is a journey, authored and finished by Jesus personally, one-on-one. Authored, when you hear him speak to you from within your heart, and you believe it to be him, this is the beginning as you received him who stands knocking at the door of your heart. Finished, when you experience and see him free you from all sin as he brings your salvation and eternal life. If any man wants to serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there my servant will also be. If any man serves me, my Father will honor him. John 12:26. To follow Jesus is to obey Jesus. With persistence, obedience to the end, you will enter the kingdom of heaven. While alive on earth, his true servants can be translated into the kingdom of heaven. They still remain walking on the earth, but their consciousness and sight are in heaven in the presence of Jesus and the Father. Jesus prayed, I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should protect them from the evil. John 17:15. Father, I will that they also, whom you have given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which you have given me. John 17:24. From the word of the Lord within, you can live in heaven and still walk the earth. I will come again to the elect. I will be a crown to lead and guide them. As George Fox ministered on the earth, he was translated to paradise, and then he lived in paradise. Do not swear at all, either by heaven or by the earth or by Jerusalem. Do not swear by your head, for you cannot make even one hair white or black. Let your yes be yes and your no, no. Anything beyond this comes from the evil one Satan within you. Matt 5:34-37. Swearing is not profanity. Swearing is to take an oath or to swear to tell the truth. Swearing is forbidden by Jesus and James. Above all things, my brothers, do not swear, neither by heaven or by earth, nor by any other oath, but let your yes be yes, and your no, no, to avoid being condemned. James 5:12. The reason Jesus further tells us not to swear by heaven, by earth, or by the Bible, by God, or even the hairs on your head is because you don't control any of them, so to pretend to be able to invoke them is a complete exaggeration, even a lie. Until our selfish spirit, the spirit of Satan, that every man has, is crucified, most all of what we speak is from that spirit of Satan. Even if you have accepted Jesus, your mouth is still controlled by the spirit of Satan until it is crucified on the inward cross of self-denial to be replaced by the spirit of Christ to rule your heart in thoughts, words, deeds. Until your heart has been purged of the evil in it by the powerful grace of God to become purified, your words come from the spirit of Satan. Man's heart is full of evil. man's mind is enmity to God. What an uncrucified man speaks is from his evil heart, mind, and spirit. That is why the Lord must give us a new heart, new mind, and new spirit, as we must become an entirely new creature, with all old things passed away. Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and its fruit corrupt, for the tree is known by its fruit. From the word of the Lord within, a good tree is a holy one. For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaks. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart brings forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. But I say to you, for every idle non-edifying word that men speak, they will give an account of the same in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. Matt 12:33-37, from the word of the Lord within, all talk is an abomination. Conversation is to be restricted so much that you are ostracized. Let your words be as few as possible. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth except what is edifying, so that it may minister grace to those who hear you. F4:29. But let your yes be yes, and your no, no, for whatever is more than these comes from the evil one, the spirit of Satan within you. Matt 5:37. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it shall eat its fruit. Pro 18:21. Those who love to talk will never see salvation. The fruit of a tongue that roams is death. Enter through the narrow gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. Matt 7:13-14. Then said someone to him, Lord, are there few who will be saved? And he said to them, strive to enter in at the narrow gate, for many, I say to you, will seek to enter in, and shall not be able to. And once the master of the house has risen and shut the door, you will stand outside and knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he will answer and say to you, I do not know you or where you come from. Then you will say, we ate and drank in your presence, and you taught in our streets. This fits very well with those who think communion or the Eucharist is eating and drinking in his presence, and their streets was just another street in Babylon. Jesus denies them ever eating and drinking in his presence and denies their origin as valid. Of course he knows everything, including their continued sinning till death. His denial is a denial of knowing them by their eating and drinking in his presence, and he denies having taught in their streets, their origin, both of which they thought had occurred and entitled them to enter heaven. From the word of the Lord within, do you know him or just pretend to know him? To know him is to have met him and listened to him. Seek the meeting. But he will say, I tell you, I do not know you or where you come from. Depart from me, all you workers of iniquity, wrongdoers, still sinning. Luke 13:23-27. Every man is judged by their words and works, including those who claim to be Christians. God shows partiality to no man. From the word of the Lord within, remember, every person who sins denies him as Lord and Master. If you err still sinning, you belong to sin and not to me. See myself, thus no sin has a place in me. Everyone is expecting Jesus to be their excuse. I've warned them and given them the requirements and preached the exclusions. They should not expect anything else or conclusion. All men have heard the call to repent. People must stand the price for their very brazen behavior. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. John 10:27. If you don't hear his voice and follow, obey him, he doesn't know you. And if you die while still sinning, you will be banned from heaven. If you haven't seen him and listened to him, neither do you know him. Unless cleansed and purified by the Lord's Spirit that destroys sin within man, every man's heart starts filled with evil, filled with sin, defiled, and disqualified for heaven. Watch out for false prophets, who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree brings forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree brings forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and its fruit corrupt, for the tree is known by its fruit. Matt 12:33. From the word of the Lord within, a tree that is holy is a good one. Every tree that does not bring forth good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore by their fruits you shall know them. Matt 7:15-19. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, quietness, and confident trust forever. Patience, including longsuffering, steadfastness, and perseverance. kindness, including morality and integrity, goodness, faith, gentleness, including meekness and humility, and self-control, mastery of sensual appetites, passions, and desires. Against these there is no law. This involves ridding yourself of sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, greed, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. Gal 5:19-23. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. Matt 7:15-23. Whatever they tell you to observe, that observe and do, but do not do according to their works, or they say, and do not do. For they bind heavy burdens, hard to bear, and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. But all their works they do to be seen by men. They make their phylacteries broad and enlarge the borders of their garments. Matthew 23:2-5. Be careful not to do your acts of righteousness before men to be seen by them. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Matt 6:1-4. When you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father, who is unseen. Do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Matt 6:5-8. When you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show men they're fasting. When you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face so that it will not be obvious to men that you are fasting, but only to your Father, who is unseen, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Matt 6:16-18. Do not judge, or you too will be judged. Take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Matt 7:1-5. Do not give dogs what is sacred. Do not throw your pearls to pigs. If you do, they may trample them under their feet and then turn and tear you to pieces. Matt 7:6. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. Matt 7:7. Freely you have received, freely give. Matt 10:7-8. Go and learn the meaning of this. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. Matt 12:7. But the things that come out of the mouth come from the heart, and these make a man unclean. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, slander. These are what make a man unclean. Matt 15:18-20. Every man's heart starts filled with evil, filled with sin, defiled and disqualified for heaven. All defiled men are banned from heaven. Unless cleansed by the Lord's Spirit that destroys sin within man, every man walks according to the ways of the world and the god of this world, fulfilling their desires and lusts of their flesh according to their thoughts, according to their evil imagination, according to their carnal minds that are enmity against God and cannot be subject to the law of God. Every man is judged by their words and works, including those who claim to be Christians. God shows partiality to no man. From the word of the Lord within, only a heart that is purged of sin is acceptable to God. Everyone is expecting Jesus to be their excuse. If you're still sinning, you belong to sin and not to me. See myself, thus no sin has a place in me. You are without excuse, O man. Sin in believers is intolerable. The pure is innocent of all defilement. You can think you are a Christian and call him Lord, but if you die still sinning, you are banned from heaven. When purified by grace, men are translated into heaven while on earth and then forever. To be freed of sin, even the desire to sin, you must obey the Lord's spoken commands that you expose yourself to hear, by waiting on him in humble silence as you listen and watch. That is the one thing needed. Luke 10:39-42. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lewdness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile a man. Mark 7:21-23. Leave them, they are blind guides. If a blind man leads a blind man, both will fall into a pit. Matt 15:14. The ministers of Christianity are the blind guides the Lord warned us about, not taught by the Lord's voice and light, not perfected by the Lord, not gifted with an authorized ministry, not sent by the Lord, and not speaking words from the Spirit of the Lord. Rather, they speak from their carnal minds, the nature of death, and preach their vain opinions from the imagination of their evil hearts. In Christianity today, there are millions of blind guide preachers and blind guide teachers in the ditch, along with their billions of captive followers, whom they have led into the ditch. The blind guide's lies have been preached by so many for so long, their lies have become pervasive in all of Christianity. By fair speaking and captivating language, they deceive the hearts of the simple. Rom 16:18. They are self-appointed, unperfected, ministers posing as authorized by Christ who solicit your money and lord it over you. They are wolves in sheep's clothing, promising liberty when they themselves are slaves of corruption. From the word of the Lord within, just like Judaism was taken over by the enemy, so has Christianity, which is corrupt through and through. There is no church in the world that Christ set up specifically. I work with the blind, but if you think you can see and you are not with me in heaven, I will make you a laughingstock. But beware of the leaven, ferment of the Pharisees and Sadducees. Matt 16:11, the yeast of the Pharisees is hypocrisy, the attitude of pretending to be godly, but still being subject to lust, anger, slander, greed, etc. It is called a leaven or a yeast, because such an attitude can spread throughout your entire spiritual life, like a cancer that spreads throughout the body. Let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. Matt 5:16, when you have been delivered freed from the sins and evil in your heart, God's light will shine forth in your heart to guide your thoughts, words, and works. God makes us a fit instrument for his hand to direct in works of love, to show the world the love of God, to shake the nations, and to hold out the word of life. God's works are performed by his people with joy, knowing all their words and deeds are perfect and virtuous, which give pleasure, honor, and glory to God, and which shows true righteousness. The purpose of becoming a Christian is to do works according to the will of God, so that thy will be done on earth as it is done in heaven. Matt 6:10, he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. To follow Christ, you must humbly get quiet to listen for his word within your heart, then you must wait to hear him, then you must obey him. Self-denial occurs by obeying the Lord's voice instead of your will, his will, not your will. This is the cross. He who finds his life shall lose it, and he who loses his life for my sake shall find it. When you continually deny yourself and obey the Lord's commands, you will eventually lose your selfish life, and thereby save your soul to live the superior life of God in union with God. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "If any man desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." To follow Christ, you must persistently daily and patiently go to him to sit in humble silence as you wait on him, listening and watching for his word within your heart. When you hear him, then you must obey him. To obey is to follow. Self-denial occurs by obeying the Lord's voice instead of your will. His will, not your will. This is taking up the cross, which is the power of God to free you from sin. The cross is to your will and your carnal mind, which must be denied. For whoever will save his life shall lose it, and whoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. Matt 16:24-25, if you live after the flesh, the sinful nature, you will die. But if through the Spirit you mortify, put to death, the deeds of the body, you will live. Rom 8:13. To find the superior life of God, you must crucify your selfish life on the inward cross of self-denial, and thereby find the superior life of God in union with God. And whoever does not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Luke 14:27. The blind guides of Christendom ignore the cross and tell their followers that they are already saved just by believing in Jesus. But unless you carry the inward cross of self-denial to crucify your selfish lusts, passions, and desires, you will be banned from heaven at death. To come after Christ, you must wait in humble silence, listening for him to speak to you from the word within your heart. Faith is to hear him, and then you must obey him. Self-denial occurs by obeying the Lord's voice instead of your will. His will, not your will. This is bearing the cross, the inward cross of self-denial. So likewise, whoever does not forsake all that he has cannot be my disciple. Luke 14:33, everyone who has forsaken houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my name's sake will receive a hundredfold and will inherit everlasting life. Matt 19:29. When you continually deny yourself and obey the Lord's commands, you will forsake your entire selfish life, and thereby save your soul to live life in union with God. He who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters. Luke 11:23, Matt 13:30. You may think you are helping to save people by witnessing to them, but if you haven't been authorized, sent under direct orders, and only speaking words heard from the Spirit immediately before speaking, you are seeking your own glory, not God's, and you are scattering the true sheep. Any converts you make are twice as fit for hell as yourself. If your brother sins against you, go and show him his fault, just between the two of you. But if he will not listen, take one or two others along, so that every matter may be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses. If he refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if he refuses to listen even to the church, treat him as you would a pagan or a tax collector. Matt 18:15-17, whoever desires to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. Matt 20:26-28, but you are not to be called rabbi teacher, for you have one teacher and you are all brothers. And do not call anyone on earth father, for you have one father who is in heaven. And you must not be called master, leader, teacher, for you have one master, leader, teacher, the Christ. Matt 23:8-10, any title, reverend, doctor, father, master, teacher, preacher, pastor, is wrong. We are all brothers and only brothers. Notice Jesus did not say, I am your teacher. Neither did he say, scriptures are you teacher. He said, the Christ. Christ means the anointing or with God's Spirit. So Jesus is telling them that the anointing or the Spirit of God is their one teacher. Now look at what John says, but the anointing that you have received from him abides in you, and you do not need any man to teach you. But as the same anointing teaches you all things and is truth and is no lie, and even as it has taught you, abide in him. 1 John 2:27. Notice he speaks of the anointing as abide in him. He speaks of the Spirit as a him, whom Jesus has identified as the Christ. The Christ speaks, woe to you, Pharisees, for you love the best seats in the synagogues and to be greeted by flattering title and bowed down to in the marketplaces. Luke 11:43, woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites, you have neglected justice, mercy, and faithfulness. What I say to you, I say to everyone. Watch. Mark 13:37. Watch for the light to expose the thoughts and conditions of your heart. When you are brought before synagogues, rulers, and authorities, do not worry about how you will defend yourselves or what you will say, for the Holy Spirit will teach you at that time what you should say. Luke 12:11-12, let your waist be girded and your lamps burning, and you yourselves be like men who wait for their master, when he will return from the wedding, that when he comes and knocks they may open to him immediately. Blessed are those servants whom the master, when he comes, will find watching. Assuredly, I say to you that he will gird himself and have them sit down to eat, and will come and serve them. And if he should come in the second watch, or come in the third watch and find them so, blessed are those servants. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. Luke 12:35-40, when someone invites you to a wedding feast, do not take the place of honor, for a person more distinguished than you may have been invited. If so, the host who invited both of you will come and say to you, give this man your seat. Then, humiliated, you will have to take the least important place, but when you are invited, take the lowest place, so that when your host comes, he will say to you, friend, move up to a better place. Then you will be honored in the presence of all your fellow guests. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. Luke 14:8-11, when you give a dinner or a supper, do not ask your friends, your brothers, your relatives, nor rich neighbors, lest they also invite you back, and you be repaid. But when you give a feast, invite the poor, the maimed, the lame, the blind. And you will be blessed, because they cannot repay you, for you shall be repaid at the resurrection of the just. Luke 14:12-14, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, his wife and children, his brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Luke 14:26, we cannot let our concerns for or criticisms from our mother, wife, children, brothers interfere with our efforts to please God and be obedient to his commands that we hear from him. For which of you, intending to build a tower, does not sit down first and count the cost, whether he has enough to finish it. Lest, after he has laid the foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it begin to mock him, saying, "This man began to build and was not able to finish." Or what king, going to make war against another king, does not sit down first and consider whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him who comes against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is still a great way off, he sends a delegation and asks conditions of peace. So likewise, whoever of you does not forsake all that he has cannot be my disciple. Luke 14:28-33. Take heed to yourselves. If your brother sins against you, rebuke him, and if he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you 7 times in a day, and 7 times in a day returns to you, saying, "I repent," you shall forgive him. Luke 17:3-4. You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not give false testimony, honor your father and mother. All these I have kept from my youth up, he said. When Jesus heard this, he said to him, "You still lack one thing. Sell all that you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me." Luke 18:20-22. Sell your possessions and give to the poor. Provide purses for yourselves that will not wear out, a treasure in heaven that will not be exhausted, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Luke 12:33-34. By your steadfast endurance do you possess your soul. Luke 21:19. Be careful, or your hearts will be weighed down with dissipation, drunkenness, and the anxieties of life, and that day will close on you unexpectedly like a trap. For it will come upon all those who live on the face of the whole earth. Be always on the watch, and pray that you may be able to escape all that is about to happen, and that you may be able to stand before the Son of Man. Luke 21:34-36. Pray that you will not fall into temptation. Luke 22:40. Jesus answered, "I tell you the truth, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit." John 3:5-6. To the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, "If you continue in my word, you are really my disciples. If you continue to wait, watch, and listen to Jesus, who is the word and light within your heart, you are a true disciple, who will produce the fruit of the Spirit, who will be guided into all truth, and then who will have become free of all sin. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." John 8:31-32. You will only know the truth to become free of sin if you continue in my word, as verse 31 above states. The way is to continue in his word, which word is not the Bible but the word that is in your heart and mouth to obey. The truth is in the life of God, who is Jesus, which life is light, which light is the anointing, which is truth. Jesus is the life and the truth, and when you fully possess him, the word, the anointing, the light, the life, the truth, he will set you free from the bondage of sin so that sin no longer controls you and is not even desirable. Instead, you will be guided by God with every word to speak and every deed to be done, that is being free, free from the bondage and slavery to sin. The man who loves his life will lose it, while the man who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. John 12:25. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. John 13:14. When a group assembles, which includes mature believers who can speak words immediately heard from the Spirit, the spoken words of those mature believers wash the feet of those who come with the pollutions of the world affecting their spirits and minds. Their words from the Spirit of God wash that filth away, helping the believers to forget the world that is perishing and focus instead on their future home in the kingdom, strengthening them, encouraging them, and teaching them. A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. John 13:34-35. If you love me, you will obey my commands. John 14:15. He who has my commands and obeys them, it is he who loves me, and he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and show myself to him. John 14:21. Jesus replied, "If anyone loves me, he will obey my spoken words, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who doesn't love me does not obey my spoken words, and the spoken words you hear are not my own but are the Father's who sent me." John 14:23-24. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself, it must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. John 15:3-4. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. John 15:5. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. John 15:10. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. John 15:12-14. This is my command: love each other. John 15:17. When the counselor comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me. And you also must testify, for you have been with me from the beginning. John 15:26-27. When Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, because he taught as one who had authority, and not as their teachers of the law. Matt 7:28-29. This website's purpose is to show how to become free from sin by benefiting from the changing power of God through the cross, which leads to union with God and his kingdom.